Chapter 12. Salvation through Christ. The Christian's faith differs from all the religions in the world. In this way, religions and religious teachers teach men the precepts they must follow in order to be happy in this world and or the world to come, and they urge men to discipline themselves to follow those teachings. Christians, however, believe that all men already know the teachings they should follow, so they not only do not need more teaching, but are so hopelessly bad that they neither can nor want to follow God's laws. Because of mankind's utter depravity and hopeless sinfulness, God Himself sent Jesus to take away sin for men and as their representative in their stead. Jesus did this on the cross. There, while being rejected and mocked by men, He became also, as the embodiment and personification of man's sin, the object of God's wrath and judgment against mankind. So now the problem of sin, all sin, is gone. God counts ungodly men righteous. God wants us to simply believe this and be happy about it. More than that, God has promised that whoever believes in Jesus and trusts God's word concerning the forgiveness of our sins because of Jesus' death, to this man He will give His Spirit. That is, His Spirit will come into those who believe, and they will become newborn anew into His kingdom with different hearts, with both the strength and desire to be righteous. This is the gospel, the good news, that is the subject of the following chapter, excerpts from the writings of Jesus' disciple, Paul. The power of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, "He who becomes righteous by believing will live." The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I, God, will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to some, and foolishness to others, but to those whom God has called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. The source of sin. Now the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, and the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever to be praised. The corruption of mankind. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since men did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, they disobey their parents, they are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although men know God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Don't take God's warnings lightly. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on others, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is meant to lead you toward repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself on the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, for each one, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. For God does not show favoritism. No one is righteous. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, they have altogether become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Men's throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit, the poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no difference. All men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there is a righteousness from God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. The righteousness that comes by believing. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, those who believe are justified freely by God's grace. God has presented Jesus as the one who would turn aside His wrath, taking away sin, through faith in His blood. Truly, those who believe in the one who raised Jesus from the dead are counted righteous. Because Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life so that we would be accounted righteous. Therefore, since it is those who believe who are counted righteous, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Him that we have gained access, by faith, into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God's grace towards us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, since we have, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath, now been made righteous by His blood, through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Turn away from lust. So, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the action of the Spirit of life has set me free from the working of sin and death. For what we were powerless to do, because of the weakness of our sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so, God condemned sin in sinful man in order that His righteous requirements might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but in obedience to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, because the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's will, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. The working of the Holy Spirit in us. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, through his Spirit, who lives in you. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, "Oh, my Father." The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Our hope. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It is in this hope that we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The future glory. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also made righteous. Those he made righteous, he also glorified. The unshakable love of God. What, then, shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake, we face death all day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.